keep people in the community, make sure they can remain independent with the services that they need, such as Meals on Wheels, congregate meals, all of the programs under the Older Americans Act, so that they can remain vital and grow older with respect and dignity.
Quality of life.
Quality of life.
You see that more and more, that especially like in the senior centers I'm involved with one. And I even tell people, you know, you don't move when you're 80.
No.
If you want to move and you think you're going to go to Florida or North Carolina or one of these places, do it when you're 60.
Exactly.
So you can get down there, start meeting people, because when 80 comes, it's nice to have a friend
that's right.
in place.
That's right.
80, I'm not going to go down there and start finding friends. I mean, you could, but that's very unusual.
Well, I think, you know, John, you really touch upon something that's so very, very important. And part of, you know, the special month that we have, which is Older Americans Month, is we want to make sure people remain engaged, because the biggest threat to seniors are people who self-isolate. It happens so easily as we get older, and especially as you make mention in that example about turning 80, and that's what happens. People move to a new environment, then they feel uncomfortable, then they isolate, and then, again, their quality of life is diminished.
And it's interesting, because there are things medically which can precipitate a lot of that stuff. And to fast forward for a moment, we're going to talk about this a little further when you're not even on the air with us to discuss some of the options people may be able to do to support exactly what you're talking
about. You know, that's, again, what I love about the Aging Network is we're really focused on the same mission and goal. You know, prevention has taken a very large picture of what we're doing these days. And again, remaining independent, where people truly want to be. And that's not to negate the fact that people do have choice. Many people choose assisted living or even nursing facility care. Sometimes it's required. But all people should have choice. And I think that's our mission in the Aging Network, is to make sure the services are there to keep people independent in the communities that they want to be in.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. And as I say, I see it as people age. It's just, and it's sad. The other part of it is, and you even see it more, I'm sure, when a person has to be uprooted, and sometimes they move them. You know, recently, not recently, like 2 or 3 years ago, a friend of mine's mother took ill, and they had to put her into a nursing home. That's all fine. But for convenience, they sent her to New Jersey. And I'm like, she doesn't know anybody. Yeah. Nobody's going to visit. It's a 2.5-hour ride.
That's right. Supports are important.
She was in the Rosary Society, so in the church. So therefore, I said, those ladies would walk by and pop in and have a cup of coffee. I said, whatever. You know, you can't tell people what to do. But until it happens to you, and that's one of the things that, you know, all these programs are informational. Until it happens to you, you'd say, I didn't know that. I didn't feel it.
That's
you know, you
true.
Have two parents. You're not paying attention. One day you're going to be there and say, ooh, that's what I did to my parents. I don't want it done to me, so it's education.
I love what you're saying. And a lesson that I learned when I was state director in New Hampshire, I had a lady that came up to me, and she was an older woman. She said, what you need to recognize, Kathleen, in your career is that we are all seniors in training. And we need to be able to admit that and live a strong life where we're able to take care of ourselves, but also become a model for others who are coming behind us. And I think actually just talked about that as well.
It's the truth.
I mean,
because some of them, honestly, you know, I am judgmental. Some people make a mistake, and others don't care.
Right.
But the ones who make a mistake, they didn't do it on purpose, and those are the ones you try to get, because they would do the right thing. It's just that they made a mistake. It's intimate.
That's right.
You seem questioning something.
And another thing, at least, I just read something recently, and I just brought it along as a reference, mm-hmm. is that technology is also assisting in being able to do things that we couldn't necessarily do on our own, providing, and again, I'm using the word technology, that you have a support that can assist you as far as connecting with some of that technology. But the smart assistants like Alexa or Siri, those I don't know what the device
looks like,
where you speak into it and you say, you know, play Taylor Swift or you know, I want the temperature to be 52 degrees.
This morning,
well, I read
the
article.
This.
I mean, hey, I'm cheating. I'm cheating somewhat.
I am too.
But the point is that let's say you have a grandchild or someone like that is doing technology that can set you up where if you just speak into it, all kinds of adaptations can now be done. So again, it's following up on a hands-on basis with exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I think again, and I will claim my bias. I live in New York. I represent the state of New York, and I am so honored to do so because they are so inventive and innovative as it relates to aging services. I'll give you a great example that ties into what you're speaking about. There is a service called Older Adults and Technology Services that teaches, trains older people not to be fearful of technology, and they have curriculum that they have developed that really is solely for seniors. What happens is people come into this environment, they begin to learn, they begin to make new friends, they are not afraid to ask those embarrassing questions that they might not ask their daughter or son. And they come to a comfortable environment, they learn how to tweet, they learn how to email, they learn how to really surf the web. Then they become very active in some of the issues that are concerning them, taking part in some of the conversations, maybe even on radio stations and things like that. They become actively engaged because the fear of technology is reduced. And there's also, as you make mention, some really wonderful things to help people remain in the home.
You know, Kathleen, I've gone to the advisory committee meetings, and you'll see it in the Pioneer and other things. Project Independence offers classes that are tailored to the various applications that one can do, and it's focusing on seniors.
Yes.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So you've had guests come on here and...
The only issue I have with computers, I don't like them myself. I have Lexus in my office. A ghost starts talking to me when I don't want it to talk. I'm saying, shut up, because I didn't say anything to you. So I pulled the plug out of it. You need a kid. Like I have grandchildren, eight.
You.
This is an eight-year-old. He's going like this.
Yeah.
He's hitting the button. I have a code on mine. So he's the only one having it. I mean, I have it. I just have it because, you know, I have it stuff that, excuse me, from work. So, but he has the code, and he's eight. And punches it in, he goes where they want to do.
Where we've seen this really being so life-changing is in rural areas, upstate New York. We really think, those folks are in their home and they're disconnected, they're isolated. And it kind of goes all the way back to what I'm saying is really our greatest fear for people who are aging in community settings is that they become isolated. But through that interaction, and especially in a rural community, it opens their world and people can even check on them back and forth.
Telemedicine has come a far, far way.
I don't even know.
In that someone can be in the city but is able to get a interaction through the computer applications to get all kinds of advice
Your physician, if you live in a rural area, can't make it into the doctor, you can get online and they're looking at you, you're looking at them, and you have
correct.
A conversation.
Correct. And therapists can do it.
Oh, that's significant. Okay.
I mean, there's so many things about being creative about senior aging services that are new and innovative that we're just beginning to discover.
Yeah. Many, many years ago, I went to a distance education conference, and they were in the early days throwing this out as possibilities.
Yes.
And I know it's gone further. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Well, Facebook.
Yeah.
Not Facebook. FaceTime.
Bob Dylan was right. The times, they are a-changing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's just quicker and quicker.
A little faster.
You try to go back like 20, 30 years. It's like, how the hell did we get here? I mean, it's an amazing thing.
It went quickly.
Yeah, it really has. But most of it, not every change is for the good, but 75 to 90% really is. And one of the big things is acknowledgement to seniors. Seniors weren't taken. You went to somebody's home. My grandparents were in our basement. I carried them up to bring them for breakfast or something because, homes weren't around at that time, really. Actually, we're going to go into our first break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.